Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 65, BMW All-Wheel Drive, X-Drive, and S-Drive. Just to get it out of the way real quick before I forget, the S-Drive, just so you know, and I don't forget about talking about it, the only time you'll see that is on typically the side of the front fenders. This would be on an X-Series car that instead of having all-wheel drive or X-Drive on it, it will say S-Drive. Okay, that basically means that on that particular car, it does not actually have all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. It is two-wheel drive, the rear axle. Okay, so that's the only time you're going to see S-Drive, and that's really the only time I'm going to talk about it in this episode. I just wanted to kind of fill in that little bit of, side note there. So, getting back. BMW's first four-wheel drive was called all-wheel drive. It came out in 1985 through 92 on the E30 325iX. In this case, the X denotes this was part of the model of the car that denotes that it was four-wheel drive. That is different from X-Drive, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So anyway, 85 to 92, E30 325iX, and the E34 91 through 96 525iX. That's when BMW first came out with any kind of a four-wheel drive system, okay? And just briefly, the way the system worked was that the center transfer case used what's called a viscous coupling to vary torque split front to rear. Typically, the default was 37% front to 63% rear, respectively. Okay. Up to 80% of the total torque could be applied to front or rear, whichever had better traction. Okay, and so this is what the viscous coupling did in the transfer cases. It would look at slippage, and it would vary the torque application, in other words, the power to front or back axle, whichever had better traction at the time. Okay, in the rear differential, it used the same design as far as the viscous coupling, and that was to vary torque split side to side. Okay, so in other words, the wheel that was slipping would get less torque, and the wheel that was not slipping would get more torque. Okay, but it would apply it. You know, again, it could vary it side to side. The front differential on the all-wheel drive cars had no locking function. So, in other words, that's what's called an open differential. Okay, so all-wheel drive was originally introduced during those model years, and then from '96 on, it was no longer offered. However, in 2001, it was reintroduced in the X5 SAV and the E46 3 Series sedans and wagons. Okay, in that version, it still had a viscous coupling in the transfer case, but there was no viscous coupling in either of the differentials. What they did was they used DSC, Dynamic Stability Control, which monitors wheel spin per wheel, to apply the brakes to wheels that were slipping. Okay, so they got rid of the viscous coupling in the differential, and they simply used the DSC system to individually apply brakes as needed. Okay, now a person could say, well, isn't that going to maybe cause more wear on the brakes? Yeah, potentially. Okay, you're basically now using a brake, and this is, by the way, whether you're applying the brakes or not. This is all working independent of what you're doing as far as with the throttle or the brake pedal for that matter. Okay, so it has the capability of applying individual brakes even if your foot is not on the brake pedal. Okay, you could be halfway hammered into the throttle and the system is applying brakes to individual wheels as needed. Okay, then we went to actual X drive. Okay, and the difference is that uses an electronically actuated clutch pack transfer case to split the torque. The default setting is 40-60 front to rear respectively, but it can be up to 100% to either axle. The wet clutch is applied through a high-speed electric servo motor that mounts on the side of the transfer case. Both front and rear differentials are, again, what's called open design, and again, the DSC modulates the brakes to transfer torque away from the slipping wheel. Okay. Then we went to an upgraded version of xDrive with what's called torque vectoring, which is called dynamic performance control, which originally came on the 08, X6, and other models, including the X5M. Torque vectoring increases agility in corners. Okay, so this it basically applies brakes as needed in cornering, again, to make the car corner better. Okay, there's also systems called ADB/X, which is automatic differential brake, and what's called HDC, which is hill descent control. The hill descent control was used more commonly, again, on the X series cars, because they're figuring that you might be a little bit off road, and basically, rather than you, as you're going down a hill, maybe it's slippery, you know, conditions, it's in dirt or gravel or something like that, you can literally just, as you go over the top of the hill, so to speak, and as you're going down, you can literally push the hill descent HDC button and let the car just take over as far as braking and throttle. Okay, you just have to steer the car. Okay, so it will automatically help you to go down this hill. Again, this is in adverse traction, where you don't have to apply the brakes, you don't have to apply the throttle. It's basically like about walking speed, maybe a little bit higher than that, but it's essentially taking care of brake and throttle, and again, it's also actuating individual brakes as needed to keep the car, the directional stability properly. In other words, to help you point in a straight line going down the hill. Okay. So that's kind of a neat system. Again, that's in the X series cars. Okay. There's also what's called DDC. Now I'll admit I'm going to read the following from a BMW printout that I got. DDC is again another function of xDrive. It's called driving dynamic control. Okay. So this is verbatim. Hopefully it's not boring to you, but I thought, well, it really gives a lot of information, so I'm just going to read it straight away. Driving dynamic control monitors the slip on the front and rear axles. Driving dynamic control has the task of achieving optimum traction and keeping the car stable or to stabilize it. The following evaluation criteria are taken into account by the monitoring system: wheel speeds, yaw rate, lateral acceleration, and steering angle. The drive torque is distributed as follows in normal driving with all-wheel drive: 40% to the front axle, 60% to the rear axle. Distribution of the drive torque is oriented upon the torque that can be supported by each axle. For instance, if the car is fully accelerated in first gear from a standing start, the distribution the distribution of the dynamic axle load creates a higher axle load on the rear axle. Therefore, the rear axle can convey a higher drive torque. Example, the front wheels are on a high traction surface. The rear wheels are on a sheet ice, low traction. In this case, almost 100% of the available torque would be transmitted to the front axle. The rear axle is under hardly any load and it can support only a low drive torque. When driving in a curve, the lateral acceleration causes centrifugal force that forces the car to the outside. The car leaves the stable driving condition when the centrifugal force is stronger than the maximum possible wheel lateral guiding forces. Understeer is the phrase used when the car presses outwards over the front wheels. Oversteer, on the other hand, is when the rear wheel adhesion becomes lower. The rear of the car presses outwards. xDrive minimizes the tendency to understeer or oversteer by optimally distributing the driving power between the rear and front axle. Detection of different tire rolling circumferences. Okay, this one is real important in regards to type, brand, and how much wear are on tires. Okay, if the tire rolling circumferences are not the same, the drivetrain twists due to different rotary speeds when the multi-plate clutch is closed. Differences in rotational speed can occur as a result of the following influences. When tires of different makes and types are fitted, the tire rolling circumference may fluctuate by up to 1% due to tires of different makes and types being fitted of the tires, or the tires are very, The tire rolling circumference may fluctuate by up to 1% due to tires of different makes and types being fitted, or the tires are worn very differently. When an emergency wheel is fitted, and when the tires are worn very differently. Slip in the multi-plate clutch may compensate for differences in rotary speed when different tire rolling circumferences are detected. One of the things that I find, this is not on the printout that I'm talking about, one of the things that I find that hopefully any good technician knows to look for is when a customer is complaining about either a weird noise from their car, or certainly if the 4x4 fault light is on, and again, we're talking about X-drive vehicles, okay? It is very important that the tires are all the same brand, okay? They obviously need to be the correct size for what's supposed to be on the car. And what you don't want to do is have situations, let's say all four of your tires are getting pretty well worn, but let's just say hypothetically the rears are more worn than the front. And you decide, instead of getting all four new tires, you decide, well, I'm just going to get new rear tires and I'm going to try to get some more miles out of the front. That could create a problem in and of itself, okay? Because now the rotational speeds are going to be different. And the system, like it says, it has the capability of adjusting up to a point, okay? But beyond that, you potentially are putting more undue wear on the transfer case. Which is, by the way, if I didn't mention it, that's what splits the power between front to rear, okay? On a BMW, the transfer case is mounted directly to the back of the transmission, and that's what splits. From that point, you have, a rear axle drive shaft and a front axle drive shaft, okay? Or front drive shaft for the front axle, okay? So the transfer case is where it splits that power front to rear. And on an X-drive vehicle, it's trying to, it's being electronically controlled, okay? So let me finish up on this. Compensation is produced by reducing the locking torque in situations that do not have great driving dynamic control, okay? Emergency operation. Driving dynamic control and the ADB-X function are not possible in emergency operation. The VTG, which is the variable transfer case control unit, has an integral regulator for emergency control. The regulator provides redundancy for controlling the multi-plate clutch in the DSC control units. The regulator is used to attempt to maintain all-wheel drive for as long as possible when the DSC control unit malfunctions or important sensor signals drop out. Substitute values are calculated when individual sensor signals drop out. Functions are operated by using the substitute values until it is no longer possible to control the all-wheel drive effectively. This can lead to complete loss of all-wheel drive. Okay, so the X-Drive system is a neat system. It's electronically controlled. It can do certainly a lot more than the regular all-wheel drive system, which we first came out with, as I mentioned. But there is a lot more to go wrong with it, potentially. To continue on, there's an upgraded version with what's called torque vectoring. It's also called dynamic performance control. It came out in the 08 X6 and other models, including the X5M. I mentioned this. Okay, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I already talked about that, didn't I? Wow. Okay. Well, in conclusion, four-wheel drive really in any version is best for adverse weather and traction conditions. That's where four-wheel drive, regardless of what system it is, whether it's a BMW or not, four-wheel drive really shines when we're talking about snow, ice, any kind of adverse traction situation or adverse weather situation, especially snow, ice, dirt, gravel. Okay, there's some people that will claim that with four-wheel drive, again, depending upon how advanced it is, that you'll get better handling on just regular normal day roads or, normal traction roads. The idea being, or the thought process being that, gosh, with four-wheel drive, now you've got all four wheels are applying power. Obviously, the front wheels are steering as they should be. But that now the car is not only being pushed around a corner, but it's being pulled around a corner by the front wheels. So there's going to be some performance and handling people out there that will claim that four-wheel drive will ultimately handle better and perform better than two-wheel drive will, as far as we're talking about rear axle two-wheel drive. The bottom line is that in the real world, that's generally not the case. Okay. The issue is that with four-wheel drive, obviously there's more components in the car, so the car weighs heavier. Okay. So that in and of itself, it's potentially not going to have the performance that it could have if it was just two-wheel drive. Okay. You also have increased operating cost. Obviously, there's increased complexity. You've increased the number of components in the car. So there's going to be higher cost, whether it be for repairs and or maintenance. Frankly, these different disadvantages I just mentioned nullify any kind of possible performance increase when driving a four-wheel drive car or an X-drive car on regular, you know, dry, clean, good road surfaces. In my opinion, it will nullify it, okay? When people ask me, well, gee, Brad, I'm thinking about buying an all-wheel drive car or an X-drive car or whatever, what do you think? My first question to them, frankly, is well, do you typically go, I mean, do you go camping? Do you go up in the snow a lot? Do you go on trips where you're going to be going through adverse weather conditions? Because if that's the case, then yes, it makes sense to have an all-wheel drive or X-drive car. Okay, it definitely does. There's no doubt about it. However, I mean, I live and work in California. So for me and us, you know, if someone's not traveling out of the state or if they're not going up to Mammoth or going skiing a lot, it really does not make sense in my professional opinion. Okay. I know people buy the cars. You know, sometimes maybe if they're buying a used car, that's the only way they could get it was it happened to be four-wheel drive. But personally, myself, I would not intentionally buy a four-wheel drive car, but that's based off of my usage, okay? I mean, I don't go up to the snow, really, and I don't go skiing and those kinds of things. But if you do that, or if you find yourself having to drive, you know, on trips and stuff where you're going to be possibly getting into snow, then, you know, yes, if it happens enough times in a year, then it makes sense to have an all-wheel drive or X-drive car. It is a good system. The main thing really is you got to be really careful about tires, to the point where BMW even says that the right tires for a BMW X-Drive car, and I'm not going to talk about brand names, okay? The main thing is that all of the tires, besides having to be the correct size for that car, what you're looking for is somewhere on the sidewall, there's going to be basically, it's going to be molded into the sidewall of the tire. Basically, a five-point star is what you're looking for. And what that means is that star means that the tire size, it's matched. In other words, it is brand new, you know, brand new tire. It is a matched tire exactly for the size it's supposed to be, okay? So regardless of what brand you pick, and I, you know, just to throw it out there, for brand-wise on BMWs, I do recommend Michelin, but that's a personal choice. For the X-Drive system, you definitely want to get tires that have this five-point star on them, okay? And you want to make sure, again, that you don't buy, let's say you have a blowout or something, and if you only replace one tire that's new and the other ones have, you know, a substantial amount of wear on them, you may want to potentially either replace both of the tires on that axle, or, again, if there's a pretty big difference between the front tires to the back or whatever the case may be, you may want to consider replacing all four tires because it can create issues with the 4x4 system that it will not necessarily turn on a fault light. I mean, if it gets bad enough, it will, but it may not necessarily turn on a fault light, and the customers could start complaining about like some noises, or that the car feels funny, that it potentially starts to pull. It can create some different weird type of symptoms. And if the technician's not really aware of this stuff, they will not necessarily either ask the question of, hey, by the way, did you guys get tires replaced recently? And if it's yes, well, would you say it started up after the tire replacement? And I've had people go, oh, yeah, that's right. And, you know, I've already looked at the tires and just thought, well, this might be a possibility, okay? Certainly the way to test it, if a shop has another car there or another set of tires they can put on is to just go ahead and replace the tires and then see what happens. If the symptoms go away, well, there you are. Okay, the car, the fix was to get new, matched, proper tires. Okay, so that is something food for thought. And again, obviously, that increases potentially the operating costs of the vehicle. So again, I would not buy an all-wheel drive or X-drive vehicle for the simple reason of, or the idea that, hey, I've heard that it'll increase even dry weather handling. When you look at the whole package deal, that's not the case, in my opinion, okay? Because again, there's weight issues, there's it does obviously take performance from the engine to drive those axles. And the wheels and tires. There's a lot more electronics involved. It just, you know, four-wheel drive is for adverse traction situations. That's where it really, really shines. So I hope this has been beneficial for you. Hopefully it hasn't been too confusing. You know, there's a lot going on, even with the BMW ones. And like I say, as we get to the later model with all these different, you know, acronyms and torque vectoring and HDC and, you know, DSC and blah, 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 it can get interesting. So hopefully this has been educational for you. I appreciate you listening. And again, as always, if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. And again, I have a repair shop, BMW repair shop in California. And there's a couple different, you know, websites. You can certainly check me out if you want to. It's Brad's Motor Works is the name of the shop. It's in Newbury Park, California. I appreciate your time. I thank you again for listening. I hope you have a great day and a fantastic tomorrow. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.